Have you felt growing up that, or others have told you, that you'll never amount to anything, that you'll never become rich, that you'll never be handsome, that you'll never be beautiful, that you're never going to become smart, you're never going to become successful? If you've grown up with that belief, that lie about yourself, or that lie that you're constantly being told by others, the good news today is that God judges by the heart, not by appearance. We see that beautifully in the story of David's anointing. The prophet Samuel comes to Jesse, sent by God, told that one of his sons would become the next king. And Samuel looks at the sons and sees some that are tall and handsome and strong and leaders. And he believes surely one of these will be king, and none of them are. God judges by the heart, not by appearance. Of the many brothers among David, of Samuel, the one least likely to become king is the one chosen by God, because God sees in David the heart of a shepherd, one who lays down his life for his sheep, a heart that protects God. David would spend the nights soothing the sheep as they tried to sleep, hearing the cries of wolves around them, by playing the harp. He would play the harp and make songs to God and worship God throughout the night, strumming along his harp. The fruits of those many nights of prayer trying to soothe the anxious sheep are what we call today the Psalms. David had a profound love for God and a strong desire to protect his sheep, to fight off lions that existed back then, wolves, to guide, protect, and provide the sheep always with green pastures, as he worshiped God with the harp, soothing their hearts and soothing the sheep's anxiety and raising his heart to God. The least expected, the least handsome, the least tall, the least powerful, the least wealthy, the less of the leaders would be anointed king by God. God sees and judges man's heart, not his appearance. And we see how Jesus pursues the heart of the man born blind in today's gospel. His journey is the journey of conversion that we all must make. When we do not know Jesus, we are blind. We don't know the light of the world. And in our sin, we can often believe, as people did in Jesus's time, that if something bad happens to me, it's because God is punishing me. When we're blind and we do not know God, we project onto God our way of seeing the world and our way of treating others. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Why was this man born blind? Who sinned, him or his parents? No one. No one sinned. Sickness and suffering and death and tragedy aren't the consequences of sin necessarily, unless we've caused it or participated in it, or it's the cause of others. God doesn't act that way. God doesn't punish. God knows that sin in itself is its own punishment, with its own consequences, above all, separating us from love itself, who is God. God doesn't need to punish us. We're too good at doing that to ourselves and to each other. We don't need any help there, although Satan is always happy to do his best to add it on. No, when we sin, we know, based on Jesus, the revelation of the Father, that God doesn't get angry like we do when someone sins against us. He cries. Remember when he looked over Jerusalem, 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 how I wished to gather you as a hen gathers its chick under its wings, but you would not listen. And he cries. When Lazarus dies and his sisters tell him, Jesus wept. When we're caught in sin or experience the consequences of sin, original sin, death, our personal sin or the sin of others, God weeps because he doesn't want to see us suffer. He doesn't want to see us experience separation from him. It's the last thing he wants, and yet we choose to do so anyway. And so he weeps. But in weeping, he pursues our hearts. And too often, as the man born blind, we begin to see, but we don't know who healed us. When the man born blind is able to see, he's not in front of Jesus. Remember, Jesus sent him away blind with spit and clay in his eyes to go wash in the pool of Siloam. It was only when he was at the pool washing his face that he could open his eyes and see for the first time. He never saw Jesus, literally, but he was healed. He was able to see. And for many of us, that's good enough. We ask for something in prayer, we get it, and we're not interested in pursuing God more. We're not interested in changing our lives, conforming our life to the commandments, living as God wants. We're satisfied that this God, whoever he is, I haven't seen him, I don't know, has gotten me a job, or made me rich, or made me handsome, or made me beautiful, or made me popular, or got me a better life. And that's enough. And so maybe we come to Mass sometimes, maybe we don't. But then we hit rock bottom again. We feel rejected by our family, we get fired at our job, we lose our friendships, and we're back to square one, scrambling for something good. And maybe we start coming back to Mass again to settle that lack, that inquietude, that wrestling in our hearts. And we come back searching for God. We feel threatened and scared. Why is this happening? God is just a means to make my life better, not God who calls me into a deep relationship with him. And we see that happening with the man born blind. They bring him to the Pharisees. Who gave you sight? Who do you think he is? A prophet? Prophets say important things, but we don't worship them. Prophets tell us the truth. They speak on behalf of God, but we don't necessarily follow them. We don't always do what they say. We don't give our lives to them. Jesus is just a prophet. I mean, he healed me once. He made my life better some time ago, but now they want to throw me out of the synagogue. Now my family, my friends, my identity is being taken away from me. The Pharisees and scribes threatened anyone who called Christ the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That was the worst thing that could happen in the time of Jesus. The synagogue was their very identity. That was where they gathered, where they were welcomed by God and others. To be kicked out of that would be cut off from everyone. That was important to them. The blind man is now being threatened with the same. And now he's not sure who Jesus is. He second guesses, but he's searching for him. He wants to know, and he knows enough to know that when we are in sin, God does not listen to us. Listen to the blind man now able to see. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. The blind man is able to see truth. He's able to recognize that in my sin, God would not hear me. But now I see. And notice that Jesus doesn't give up on him. Jesus isn't satisfied to say, look, I made him see. That's good enough. Because Christ knows he's going to eventually die. And if he dies in sin, he'll be blind forever. Christ wants his heart. And so the man who have never seen Jesus, only heard his voice, and been, I was told it was Jesus who healed him, now stands face to face with the Lord because Jesus sought him out. He's thrown out of the temple. They threw him out, the scripture says. He's cut off. He can see, but now he has no one. And so Jesus pursues him. We often think that we have to search for God. We have to look for him. We have to pursue him. We have to do these things to get his attention, for him to hear us. Yes, keep his commands, but it's God who's always pursuing us and who's never satisfied with us simply being wealthy, handsome, beautiful, popular, having a better life. That's not good enough. We're made for more. And the wealthy, beautiful, handsome, powerful, popular people in the world that we know are clearly rarely ever happy, as we see all their problems and life issues on the front pages of the newspapers and on TV and social media. Jesus had heard that they had thrown him out, and he found him. Jesus sought him out. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Christ wants his heart. It's not enough that he can see. He has to believe so he can see forever. He answered him, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" The man doesn't know what Jesus looks like. He never saw him. Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And now everything in this man's life changes. It's not that he can see. What's more important is that he believes. He sees now not with his eyes alone, but with the eyes of faith. He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. That's what Jesus wanted, for this man's sake, not for Jesus' sake. "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Sometimes we have to hit rock bottom for us to accept God in our lives. He experienced that, being thrown out of the temple, cut off from church, from his family, from faith, from God, from his community. And when he hit rock bottom, Jesus did not stop pursuing him. And when Jesus comes to him, the man finally believes. Too often, good things happen and that's enough for us. And we go to church only when we feel like it. And then things get worse. And it's not until we hit rock bottom that we recognize God isn't a means for me to get what I want, but the means for me to find out who I really am and what I'm meant to be and where I am meant to be. Nothing less than heaven. Today we pray for the grace to go through these stages of conversion in our own lives as the man who was born blind, that through baptism we're able to see, and through blessings we recognize Jesus as a prophet, but oftentimes only until we hit rock bottom can we accept him as Lord in our lives. Lord, you take over. Do your will in me. Don't do my will anymore, because you're all that matters and you're all that I have. Christ is the good shepherd. He is the new David. His heart and love for God is unparalleled. He is the only begotten Son of God. And as a good shepherd with a perfect heart, that's why we worship the Sacred Heart of Jesus, not the sacred brain or the powerful Jesus or the strong Jesus. It's the heart of Jesus. And his heart is for us, in the hopes that, like this man born blind, we may come to a moment of faith like him during this Lenten season, so that when Easter Sunday arrives, there is no more joyful, more life-giving day of the entire year than the day we celebrate his resurrection and rejoice with the angels and saints in heaven, where one day we also hope to be.